face and then rubbed it into her bottom lip. "Put fresh lipstick on before you come. I want to fuck this mouth painted bright red." Emery still seemed a little shell-shocked as I straightened her clothes and then my own. Looking down, there wasn't much I could do to hide the swell in my pants. Hopefully my opponent wouldn't look in the vicinity of my dick when I returned. Then again, on second thought, hopefully he would. Once we were both smoothed out, I gave Emery a quick kiss. 401, I reminded her. She swallowed and nodded. Just as my hand reached the door, Emery finally spoke. "True?" I turned back. She pointed to the side of her mouth. "You have a little lipstick? Right here?" I grinned. "Good." Drew. American Airlines Flight 302 lands at 5:05 Friday night. Return flight is at 6:15 p.m. Check the gate and meet me there. Alexa. Do they have anything a little later? Traffic from the airport will be terrible when I drive home. Like I give a flying fuck if she sits in traffic. Drew. No. I assumed I'd get some bitchy text back, but instead her name flashed on my screen with an incoming call. Begrudgingly, I answered. I'm not changing the flights. My office door was halfway open and my attention quickly diverted to Emery slipping inside and closing it behind her. I'd lost track of time, so my eyes flashed to the top right-hand corner of my computer. 401. Alexa was busy rambling on about how she'd started checking the flight schedule for the following week for her return flight and the rates were too high. But I couldn't concentrate. Instead, I watched Emery lock my office door and strut toward me. She had an impish gleam in her eye and began unbuttoning her shirt as she walked. Reaching my chair, she put her hands on the top of the tall wingback and swiveled it to face her. I almost dropped the phone when she licked her lips and slowly lowered herself to her knees before me. Jesus Christ. Emery got to work on unbuttoning my pants. And it wasn't until I heard Alexa's voice screeching through the phone that I remembered I was still on it. "Are you there?" Alexa bitched. "How much do you need?" "Another 1,000." If she only knew, I would have given her 100,000 just to get her off the phone so I could get my dick into Emery's mouth in peace. "Fine, I'll bring it. Don't call me again." I pushed end, tossed my phone on the desk, and looked down at the beautiful sight before me. Emery looked up from under long lashes, and I realized her lips were painted bright red. Fuck yeah. She unzipped my pants and tugged for me to lift so she could pull them off. I happily obliged and helped her remove my boxers at the same time. My stiff cock sprang free. One of her delicate little hands wrapped around my shaft, and she gave it a few slow pumps until a small bead of pre-cum glistened on the tip. My eyes were glued to her as she leaned down and licked it off. Her eyes shut as she brought her tongue back inside her hot little mouth and licked her lips. "Fuck," I groaned. She gave me a wicked smile. "Still angry?" "It's quickly dissipating." I'm not sure if she was actually taking her time or if it was my mind screwing with me, but she opened her mouth wide and everything seemed to play out in slow motion. She inched toward my cock, her tongue peeked out, and then her gloriously painted red fuck-me lips wrapped around my crown and closed. She sucked me in, taking my entire length in one deep, long, hard swallow. Jesus. Fuck. Em. It was the oddest thing, but instead of feeling relief to have her mouth on me, knowing my release wasn't going to take long, I suddenly felt tense and uptight. I was angry to find she was good at giving head, pissed that she must have learned on some other guy. She pulled back slowly, suctioning hard as her lips glided up my length while the flat of her tongue pressed against the throbbing vein. Then, after pulling almost all the way off, she immediately swallowed me back down. With each bob up and down, I felt a different emotion, vacillating between angry she was good at this, and thanking God that she was. She alternated between taking me deep and pumping me at the base while her slick little tongue swirled around my tip. If I'd been inside of her, The time it took me to finish would have been embarrassing. Even so, it was less than 5 minutes before I was holding back and having to warn her I was just about to explode. My words were half-groaned, half-spoken, but she must have understood. Em? I gave her one final warning, but instead of moving her head away and releasing me from her mouth, she caught my gaze and held it as she took me into the back of her throat. Fucking gorgeous. Her blue eyes looking up at me, creamy pale cheeks filled with my cock, and red lips closed over every last inch. I tangled my fingers in her hair and prayed to her name one more time as I released down her throat. She made a moaning sound as she closed her eyes and swallowed every last drop of my cum. Unable to speak, I reached down and lifted her up, settling her onto my lap so I could bury my face in her shoulder. After my breathing calmed, I kissed her neck. That was incredible. It feels weird to want to say thank you after that, but shit. Thank you. She giggled. The sound made me smile like an idiot. You're welcome. I held her on my lap for a long time. When blood finally came back to my brain, I remembered I'd spoken to Alexa. Stay with me again tonight. I have to fly to Atlanta tomorrow afternoon, so I'll be leaving the office early.
Oh, how long will you be gone?
Just the night. It's a long story. But I'm flying down to pick up my son and flying back with him an hour later. Alexa is staying down there for another week, and I don't want him flying alone.
That's nice. So you'll have him for the week all to yourself then?
Without even thinking about it, I said, Yeah, he's gonna love you. He's a real ladies' man. She smiled.
I'd love to stay tonight, and I can't wait to meet your son.
I'd never introduced any woman to Beck before, but for some reason I wanted Beck to meet Emery. Maybe it was the best blowjob I'd had in my life, making me not think clearly, but I got the feeling he was supposed to meet her.
Chapter 29. I woke up first. Even though I was generally the late riser, Drew was the one still sleeping at nearly 7:30 in the morning. He lay on his stomach, the sheet tangled around his waist, leaving his taut ass on full display. Both of his arms were over his head, tucked under his pillow as he slept peacefully, facing my direction. He'd grown a 5 o'clock shadow, and his hair was unruly. We'd only fallen asleep 4 hours ago. Yet, if it was possible, he looked even sexier than he had yesterday. Could he have grown sexier? Possibly, but it was more likely that I'd grown to appreciate him more, to like him more. It was probably good that Drew's son was going to be with him for the next week. It wouldn't be hard to grow attached quickly, and the last thing I needed was to jump from a man who wasn't interested in me to a man who wasn't interested in a relationship. My phone vibrated on the nightstand, so I reached over to grab it before it woke Drew up. After typing in my password, I found a new text had arrived. Baldwin. Casablanca tonight? I'll bring Moroccan meatballs from Morocco on 53rd. I sighed. This was our thing. We both loved renting movies and turning them into a theme for dinner. Back in college, we'd take turns picking out the movie, and the other would have to bring food to pair with it. I'd pick Sweet Home Alabama, and he'd bring Southern Fried Chicken. He'd pick Shawshank Redemption, and I'd bring bologna sandwiches. 2 weeks ago, I would have jumped at a movie night with Baldwin, but now I felt conflicted for some reason. It wasn't like Drew and I were really dating, or even if we were, that Baldwin had any interest in me other than friendship anyway. So why did it feel wrong to say yes? Maybe because I was lying naked in bed with one man, thinking about making plans with another. That was probably what wasn't sitting right. I pushed the button on the side of my phone and decided later I'd give Baldwin's invitation more thought before I responded. Since my bladder was calling, I decided to go to the bathroom and then make coffee before slipping out. I needed to get to my apartment for clean clothes and a quick shower before my 9 o'clock appointment downstairs. When I was done, I left a note under an empty coffee mug on the kitchen counter and headed to the subway. Around the second stop, I realized I'd left my phone on Drew's nightstand. At least I wouldn't have far to go to get it when I got to work in a little while. The office phone was ringing when I walked in with a few minutes to spare before my appointment arrived. I reached over the reception desk and grabbed it. Drew Jagger's office. How may I help you?
I need to speak to Drew.
I'd only heard Alexa's voice once, but I knew it was her. Not too many of his clients had a southern accent and an attitude. Over-the-top sweetness oozed from my voice.
May I say who's calling?
No, you may not.
Bitch.
I glanced over the reception desk at the phone and saw that Drew's office line was red. He was already on the phone. I smiled as I got back on the line.
Mr. Jagger isn't available right now. Would you like to leave a message?
She huffed.
Tell him to call Alexa.
Then she hung up in my ear. I heard Drew talking as I passed his office, so I wrote the message on my message pad and ripped off the little slip to leave on his desk before my appointment arrived. But when I went back to his office, he was hanging up the phone.
Good morning.
I smiled as I walked to him. I just took a message while you were on the other line. Drew leaned back in his chair with an impassive look.
I took a message for you, too.
Oh? He slid my cell phone to the edge of his desk.
I thought it might be you, calling to see if you left your phone at my place. So I answered it.
There were only two people who would call me early in the morning. Since Drew was acting strangely, I figured it wasn't my mother.
Who was it?
The muscle in Drew's jaw flexed.
Baldwin. He wanted to know if he should order the Moroccan meatballs for tonight.
Shit. This feels even weirder than it did this morning. I sensed the need to explain. He texted this morning and asked if I wanted to rent a movie and have some dinner. I like to match food to the theme of the movie. I hadn't responded yet. Drew's face was unreadable.
Well, he's waiting for your answer.
We stared at each other, my mind jumping all over the place, trying to figure out what Drew expected me to say or do. Luckily, the front door buzzed. I looked down at my watch, relieved that my morning appointment was a few minutes early. Drew stood.
Is that for you?
I think so. I have a 9 o'clock session. I'll go let them in.
I'll get it. I have a conference call, so my door will be shut, but I don't like people to think you're alone in here.
He handed me my cell phone as he walked past.
You don't want to keep Professor Peckerhead waiting.
Ironically, the problem with the couple that had just left my office was they didn't say what was really on their minds. They weren't open with each other. Lauren wanted more oral sex and was embarrassed to ask for it. Her fiancé, Tim, wanted her to initiate sex more often. While Drew and I had yet to encounter any problems in the bedroom, I had no idea what he wanted from me. Here I was, counseling people that the key to any type of successful relationship is communication, yet I was hiding from Drew in my office to avoid finishing the conversation I knew wasn't done. I sat at my desk for another half hour, feeling frustrated and angry with myself. Not to mention, Drew was the type of man who said exactly what was on his mind, so why wasn't he telling me how he felt about my having dinner with Baldwin? And why was I so hung up on what Drew thought if we were just fucking? The longer I sat at my desk, the longer I stewed. I needed some clarification on what was happening between us. If I didn't get it before he left this afternoon, it was going to fester. So I decided to take the advice I was constantly dishing out, and it was better to get it over with while I was annoyed. Standing, I took a deep breath and marched into Drew's office. He was on the phone when I walked in. Taking one look at my face, he said,
"Let me think about it. I'll give you a call back next week, okay, Frank?"
When he hung up the phone, he leaned back in his chair the same way he had this morning and nodded.
"Emery."
"Drew?" We stared at each other. When he said nothing, I rolled my eyes.
"What are we doing?"
"Right now? You're standing in my office looking a little pissed off."
I squinted. "You know what I mean."
"Not sure that I do."
"Are we..."
I waved my hand back and forth between us.
"Just sleeping together?"
"We spend most days together, share almost all of our meals together, and when it comes to sleeping, we don't get much of that when we're in bed together."
Drew looked amused. I wasn't. Are we doing those things together exclusively? He stood and came around his desk. The playfulness was suddenly gone from his tone.
Are you asking me if it's okay for you to fuck someone else?
No.
Yes? No? Maybe?
There wasn't anyone else I wanted to be with. Oddly, the thought of sleeping with Baldwin wasn't even appealing any longer, but I wanted to know if it would be weird if I spent time with another man.
So what are you asking me?
I don't know. Silence fell between us. I could see the wheels turning behind his eyes as he stared at me, his thumb rubbing at his bottom lip. After a minute, he pushed off his desk, and that thumb found its way to my chin and lifted. He spoke into my eyes.
I'm not planning on sleeping with anyone else, and I expect you won't either. I thought we settled that in the bathtub yesterday.
My voice came out faint. Okay.
I take it this is about the message I gave you earlier.
I nodded.
You want to know what I think about you spending the night alone in your apartment, having dinner and watching a movie with the putts?
I nodded again.
All right.
He looked away, seeming to contemplate his answer for a moment, and then said,
I like you. I like the way you listen to people's bullshit problems all day, but still believe there's a reason to work through things. I like that you're up for anything. That you like staying in and watching old movies, or going out to a pool hall. I like the way your eyes light up when you talk about your parents. I really like the way it feels when I'm inside of you and the way you moan my name when you're about to come. I like that you made me coffee before you left this morning, and I even like that you're concerned what I'll think about you having dinner with Professor Pansy Ass.
He paused.
I think all that should tell you that for me, there's more here than just fucking. That being said, I'll tell you straight out that I hate the thought of you snuggling up on the couch to watch a movie with some dickhead you've been in love with for 3 years. But I'm not going to ask you not to spend time with him. That's a decision you need to make on your own. And I'll deal with whatever you choose because I realize my trust issues come from a place that has nothing to do with you.
I swallowed. That was a lot to take in at once, and it was way more than I'd expected him to commit to.
Okay. We good. Because I have 4 hours to do 8 hours worth of work before I hop on a plane so my lazy-as-shit ex-wife can complain about the traffic getting my son to the airport, while I fly 900 miles to pick him up and then turn right back around and fly another 900 miles back home. And I need at least a half hour of those 4 hours freed up so I can fuck you bent over your desk. Because you might have made me coffee this morning, but you didn't stay long enough for me to come inside of you, and I plan to remedy that before I head to the airport.
My head might have been spinning, but I knew one thing for sure. There was nothing I wanted more than for Drew to get his work done and make good on his plans. I pushed up on my tippy-toes and kissed his lips.
Go. What are you standing here for? You have work to get done.
Chapter 30. Look how long her legs are. Screw biology. This boy was definitely my son. Beck was staring at a flight attendant with the longest stems I'd ever seen. She reached up to tuck some luggage in the overhead compartment above the seat in front of us and caught Beckett leaning into the aisle and staring. "What's your name?" She smiled down at him.
"Beckett Archer Jagger."
He'd said it so proudly, I didn't have the heart to tell him it wasn't normal to recite your first, middle, and last name to strangers. The flight attendant snapped the overhead bin closed and knelt down next to him.
"Well, hello, Beckett Archer Jagger. I'm Danielle Marie Warren, and you're adorable. How old are you, sweetie?"
"I'm 6¾".
6¾, huh? Well, I'm 31½.
She winked at me and continued talking to Beck.
"Only I usually round down from 31½ to 27. Can I get you something to drink, 6¾-year-old Beckett Archer Jagger? Maybe some juice?"
He nodded, then added,
"You have legs like a giraffe."
"Beck?" I scolded. The flight attendant laughed.
"It's okay. I've gotten that before. When I was your age, the kids used to make fun of me for having long legs."
She pointed to her name badge, which read Danny.
"My name is Danielle, but everyone calls me Danny for short. And when I was in elementary school, the boys used to call me Danny Longlegs. You know,
she wiggled her fingers.
Like the long-legged spider bugs? Daddy Longlegs?
Beckett chuckled.
My mom has a nickname for my dad.
She does?
I bet it's something better than Daddy Longlegs. I interrupted. Not sure we want to repeat any of the nicknames Mommy uses for Daddy these days. I looked at the flight attendant and explained. Divorced. She smiled and winked.
Well, how about I get you some juice before we take off? And something special for Daddy, too?
A few minutes later, she came back carrying apple juice in a plastic cup with a lid and straw, and a glass with two fingers of clear liquid over ice. Passing them to us, she said,
We're going to be delayed a bit, waiting for some weather to pass. Hope you didn't have plans for tonight.
She looked at Beck and teased.
You don't have a date or anything, do you?
He scrunched up his face, like she just told him he had to eat all of his broccoli and beets. Let's keep it that way for a long time, son. I haven't even figured out women yet. I'm far from ready to give you any advice. While neither Beckett nor I had any plans for tonight, Danny Longlegs' comment made me wonder what plans Emery had decided on for tonight. After our conversation this morning, she hadn't mentioned anything else. It might have been because the only talking we had time to do this afternoon was me whispering into her ear while she was bent over her desk with her skirt pushed up 20 minutes before I had to leave. Come on my cock was a hell of a lot better than any more discussions about Professor Putz. But now it was eating at me. Was she sitting at home next to that douchebag she'd been pining over for more than 3 years? The asshole might act more refined than I did, but when it came down to it, we were both men, and Emery was a beautiful woman. I'd seen the way he acted when he suspected something might be going on between the two of us. He became territorial, not jealous, which told me a hell of a lot about how he thought. People are jealous when they want something someone else has. They're territorial when they're protecting something they already have. That fucker knew he'd had her all along. My gut told me he was avoiding getting involved with Emery because he wanted to have a good time. Fuck his way through the faculty and his students, avoiding any real relationships. And how exactly did I know this about the guy when I'd only met him a few times? Because I knew the face of that type of man. I'd looked him in the mirror every day for the last 2 years since my goddamn divorce. Beck had taken out his drawing pad and was drawing a giraffe. I laughed, thinking how often I doodled while on the phone. Nurture won over nature more often than not. I could totally see myself drawing a giraffe right now if that pencil had been in my hand. Although my giraffe would probably have had tits, because since I hit the age of 10, all of my doodles had pretty much incorporated tits in some way. While during my entire childhood, everything had reminded me of tits, the last week, everything reminded me of Emery. An advertisement for bright red lipstick at the airport. Emery's bright red lips wrapped around my cock. The flight attendant mentioning that our plans might be ruined by the weather delay. Emery's plans. Was she snuggled on the couch with the putts? My son drawing a giraffe. If I drew a giraffe, it would have tits. Emery's tits are incredible. All the roads in my mind had been rerouted to one destination lately. I knocked back half of the drink in one gulp and dug my phone from my pocket. Drew, what did you wind up doing tonight? Then I waited for the buzz to tell me Emery had responded. And waited. I was turning into a pussy. This was the third time I checked my cell phone this morning. Nothing. 12 hours had passed. After making chocolate chip pancakes that were more chip than cake, I'd asked Beck what he wanted to do. His answer was always the same. Ice skating. The boy was obsessed with hockey. So I bundled the little monster up in 3 layers, tied the laces of our skates together, and flung a pair over each shoulder before we took off. We made it to the lobby, and I told Beck I needed to make a quick pit stop in my office. Having still not heard from Emery, I was starting to wonder if maybe I should worry instead of getting pissed off at what she could have been doing. Inside my office suite, faint music was playing. It was an instrumental of some sort, and my heart sped up knowing Emery was just down the hall. I wasn't sure if it was excitement or anger, but I heard the blood swishing through my ears as I got to her office. The door was half open, but she didn't seem to have heard me come in, so I knocked, not wanting to scare her. Considering she jumped onto her chair, I'd say I didn't succeed. Instinct had me raising my hands in surrender to her. Again. It's just me. You scared the shit out of me. With that, Beck, who had been standing behind me, popped out from behind my legs. Emery covered her mouth. Oh my God, I'm sorry, my language. Beck answered for me. My dad says a lot worse. I smiled and mussed his hair, but I needed to remember to have a conversation with him later about spilling my secrets. Emery climbed off her chair, walked over, and leaned down, offering her hand. You must be Beck? Beckett Archer Jagger. Emery's lip quirked, and she glanced up at me. I shrugged. Well, nice to meet you, Beckett Archer Jagger. I'm Emery Rose. Is Rose your middle name or your last? Emery smiled and laughed. It was the same question I'd asked when we first met. It's my last name. I don't have a middle name. Beckett seemed to ponder that for a minute, so I cut in. Didn't mean to scare you. Beck and I are going ice skating. Was just worried when you didn't respond to my text last night. I locked eyes with Emery. She turned around and walked to her desk, lifting her broken cell phone and dangling it between her thumb and pointer. Dropped it last night. I just picked up a new one, and I'm trying to figure out if there's a way to restore my contacts from the cloud. I don't know anyone's numbers anymore. I let out a breath. She wasn't blowing me off. It really had been eating at me. Probably a fuck of a lot more than it should have been. Normally, if I was interested in a woman and she didn't respond, next. Plenty of fish in the sea. Only with Emery, not only had it made me anxious that she hadn't texted back, the thought of browsing my phone book for another number didn't appeal to me at all. You want help with that? I break a phone every month. She eyed the skates on my shoulders. I don't want to keep you guys when you're on your way out for some fun. Beck doesn't mind. Right, buddy? My son was so easygoing, he shrugged. Nope. Can I go draw your desk, Dad? Of course. Bottom right-hand drawer. Beck took off running. He loved to sit at my big desk and draw. He could do it for hours. I walked to the other side of Emery's desk. He's adorable, she said. Thank you. He's a good kid. I pulled out her chair. Sit. I'll show you how to load your new phone. Of course, I could have sat down and done it for her in 2 seconds, but I preferred to lean over her shoulder and have her trapped between the desk and my body. I intentionally spoke low and let my breath tickle her neck. You click this folder. I put my hand over hers on the mouse and clicked. Then this, and then use the drop-down up here and hit restore. Watching her skin prickle with goosebumps, I leaned my head closer to her ear. You cold? No, I'm good. I smiled to myself as I clicked through a few more screens. Then her new phone, which was already plugged into her laptop, lit up and began to restore from the cloud. Wow, I've been trying to figure that out for an hour now. How'd you break it anyway? If I tell you, you have to promise not to laugh. But can I still make fun of you? No, you can't do that either. I stood. Then what's the fun in hearing the story? Emery laughed. How was your trip to Atlanta, jackass? Flight was delayed a few hours for weather, but it was fine. At least Alexa didn't give me a hard time. Emery had just given me a perfect opening. I hated that I needed to know, but screw it. I did. I attempted to at least sound casual. How was your dinner last night? Emery's brows drew down. Then she realized what I was asking. Oh, I just ordered in Chinese by myself. No dinner with putts? She bit her lower lip and shook her head. I stepped closer. Why not? It just didn't feel like the right thing to do. We'd agreed we were going to be exclusive sexually, and I'd even pretty much told her I thought we had more than just great chemistry, but I couldn't very well tell her she couldn't have dinner with a guy friend. Don't get me wrong, that's exactly what I wanted to tell her. Although, since the thought scared even me, I figured I should keep that shit to myself. Instead of revealing my inner pussy, I walked to her door. My eyes never left hers as I yelled to my son. All good, Beck? Yeah, he yelled back.
Okay, I'll just be a few minutes, buddy.
Then I quietly shut the door. Come here.
What are you doing?
Come here. Emery did as I asked, coming to stand within my reach.
What?
I thought about you the entire plane ride home. She swallowed.
Yeah?
And in the shower this morning. Had to blast the water ice cold to get my cock under control because every time I shut my eyes I saw your ass bent over my desk. Her eyes widened.
Your son is right in the next office.
I know. That's why you're not bent over that desk right now. And I'm going to settle for a little taste. She licked her lips, and deciding Beck could come look for me at any second, I was done wasting time. I cupped the back of her neck and used it to pull her close as I took her mouth in a rough kiss. My other arm hooked around her waist, and she whimpered as I tugged her body flush against mine. She smelled so damn good. A sweet fragrance mixed with her naturally sexy feminine scent was intoxicating. It took every bit of restraint I had not to turn her around and push her up against the door. When I grabbed a handful of her ass and she moaned into my mouth, I almost lost that restraint. My dick was throbbing by the time I released her mouth. I was just about to go in for more, when I heard my son calling. Fuck, I grumbled, leaning my forehead against Emery's. I'm going to have to hide my hard-on so he doesn't ask questions I'm not ready to answer. Luckily, I was wearing dark jeans and was able to adjust myself before going to Beck.
What's up, buddy?
Can we get hot chocolate before we go skating?
You just had chocolate chip pancakes for breakfast. Don't you think that's enough chocolate for the morning?
My son was smart.
But it's going to be cold outside, and it'll keep me warm on the inside.
Emery came to stand next to me. She smiled.
He has a good point.
Are you going to come skating with us?
Beck asked.
I don't think that's a good idea. I don't know how to ice skate.
My dad can teach you. He's good at everything.
Nice, kid. Emery looked to me for help. I shrugged. Kid's got a point. I am good at everything. She rolled her eyes, then spoke to Beck.
You and your dad don't need me slowing you down.
We've never gone ice skating with anyone else. I can show you my moves.
Emery turned to me with one brow lifted.
He's got moves, huh? Just like his father.
I lowered my voice.
Come, let him show you his moves, and I'll show you mine later.
Chapter 31. I don't think it's broken. The emergency room doctor had my swollen ankle in his hand. It was already turning blue. But we'll take an x-ray to be sure. Thank you. The nurse will be by in a few minutes to get some information, and then she'll call for the x-ray technician. Okay. I turned to Drew. This is all your fault.
My fault?
Yes, you were making me go too fast.
Too fast? A grandmother pushing a bucket on the ice lapped us. You shouldn't have let go of my hand.
I got scared. We'd ice skated for more than 2 hours, and I still couldn't seem to get the hang of it. Because I was so unsteady on my feet, my ankles were constantly wobbling back and forth, which caused my skate to loosen. The last time I fell, there'd been no ankle support, and I twisted the damn thing. It hurt, but I hadn't thought it was broken. Drew, however, took one look at the swelling and decided we needed a visit to the ER. There was no talking him out of it. His buddy, Roman, had met us in front of the hospital and took Beck to his place so Drew could stay with me. The nurse came by with a clipboard. I need to ask you some questions. Your husband can stay if you want, but he'll need to step out when the technician comes to shoot the x-ray. He's not... I motioned between Drew and me. We're not married. The nurse smiled. Not at me, but at Drew. She also batted her eyelashes.
Really?
Well, then I'll need to ask you to step outside, she told him. I'll come get you after I finish asking your... She waited for Drew to fill in the blank.
Girlfriend.
Oh, yes, I'll come get you when I finish with your girlfriend. Was I imagining it, or had she been fishing to see if we were together? Drew kissed me on the forehead and said he'd be back. As soon as he left, the nurse started rattling off medical questions. Only then did it hit me that Drew had just called me his girlfriend. "I can walk." Drew had just scooped me up for the 10th time. He'd carried me from the rink to the cab, from the cab into the hospital, from the hospital into the cab, and from the cab all the way up to his apartment, where he proceeded to set me up on the couch with my foot elevated, just as the doctor instructed. Now he'd just had food delivered, and he was carrying me to the table. Doctor said not to put weight on it. "It's fine. It's just a sprain. The boot will stop me from putting too much weight on it anyway." Beck pulled out the chair as his father approached with me cradled in his arms. Roman, who had been taking containers of food out of the cardboard delivery box, looked at us funny. Today was my first time meeting him, and he probably thought I was a drama queen. "I'm so embarrassed. I swear I'm not usually this big of a klutz." Roman continued to take in the scene before him, watching as Drew set me down and proceeded to scoop food onto the plate in front of me. I got the feeling Roman was a man who didn't miss much.
"You're fine. Florence Nightingale here shouldn't have let you fall."
Drew growled.
"I didn't let her fall. She let go of my hand."
I winked at Roman, letting him know we were on the same page, then deadpanned, "He let me fall."
"Bullshit."
Drew froze with a tray of ziti in his hand. He'd already shoveled way too much onto my plate. He looked to me, and then to Roman.
"I didn't drop her, but I'm going to drop you if you keep starting shit."
"Watch your language," I said. Roman just chuckled. Dinner was far from peaceful. First, Drew and I disagreed over politics, and then Roman, Drew, and Beck had a heated discussion about who was going to make it to the playoffs in hockey this season. It was loud, and we occasionally talked over each other, but I couldn't remember the last time I'd enjoyed a meal so much. After we finished, Drew insisted I couldn't help clean up, and toted me back to the living room. Roman, who Drew had instructed to help clean up, cracked a beer and joined me instead.
"Want a beer?"
"No, thanks." I slouched down on the couch and folded my hands over my stomach. "I'm too full from the 20 pounds of pasta and chicken parmigiana Drew piled on my plate." Roman took a draw on his beer, watching me over the top.
"You two fight a lot?"
I smiled. "We actually do."
"That's his tell."
Confusion must have been apparent on my face, because Roman set his beer bottle on his knee and elaborated.
"We met in 6th grade. I stole his girlfriend,"
I interrupted. "The way Drew tells the story, he stole your girlfriend before you bonded over the chicken pox."
"He told you about that?"
I nodded. "He did. It was an oddly sweet story. He told it with reverence."
"Anyway, the two of us have been fighting since 6th grade, but he's also my best friend. Him and his old man were closer than any father and son I'd ever met. They fought daily. It's not a coincidence that he argues for a living, too."
Roman sipped from his beer and seemed to ponder his next words.
"Want to know how I knew it wasn't going to work out with Alexa?"
"How?"
"They never argued. Not until the end, when she started to show her true colors as the selfish bitch she always was. And that's a different type of fighting than Drew does when he loves."
"We're not..." Roman leaned back into the couch with an easy smile.
"I know. I can see that neither of you have figured it out yet. Talk to me in a month or two."
"There's night construction on 49th. You should try 51st.
"Jesus Christ, you're a pain in the ass,"
Drew mumbled as he made a sharp left turn. We'd argued for a half hour over my going home. He wanted me to stay at his place so he could help me get around, but with his son there, it wasn't the right thing to do. Eventually he gave in, but we waited until after Beck went to sleep. Then Roman had stayed, so Drew could drive me home. When we arrived at my building, I made a half-assed attempt at arguing against him carrying me, then gave up. Wrapping my arms around his neck, I leaned in to enjoy it.
"You might want to think about cutting back on the burgers," Drew teased.
"Watch it. Any fat jokes and I'll be cutting back on all meat."
"You're full of shit. You like my meat way too much."
"You're so full of yourself."
"Maybe. But you're going to be full of me in about 5 minutes, too."
The elevator door opened. "We don't have time for that. You need to get back so Roman can get home.
Screw Roman. One of the hands cradling me slipped down to my ass and squeezed hard. I've had your ass in my hands all day. We're getting naked.
What if I don't invite you in?
Good point. Maybe I should fuck you right here in the elevator, then.
He pointed his chin up to a small camera in the corner of the car.
Someone might be watching. Give him a good show.
I'd been leaning my head against Drew's chest, so I tilted it back up to look at him. His eyes were filled with heat. If we didn't get up to the privacy of my apartment, there was a chance someone really might be getting a show. But why weren't we moving yet? Did you push my floor?
Fuck.
Drew chuckled and leaned forward to push the button on the elevator panel. Just before the doors slid together, an arm stopped them from closing. Of course, it had to be Baldwin. He looked at me in Drew's arms and then saw the boot strapped up my leg.
Emery? What happened?
I felt the grip around me tighten. I fell ice skating. It's just a sprain. Baldwin eyed Drew. What the hell? Does he need verification?
She's been checked out. It's not broken,
Drew said curtly. His jaw was set so tightly I could see the muscle flexing. The elevator door closed, and the inside of the car became worse than awkward. It felt suffocating. The two men stood side by side. I suddenly wished I'd argued more about being carried. By the time we got to the third floor, I was certain there wasn't much oxygen left in the quiet car. Baldwin extended his arm to let us get out first. I attempted to find my keys in my purse, but it was difficult in my current position. When Drew stopped in front of my door, I said, "Would you mind putting me down so I can find my keys?" He lowered me gently, keeping his arm around me to reduce the weight on my foot. Baldwin stopped at my door.
"Is there anything I can do to help?"
I opened my mouth to respond, but Drew beat me to it.
"I'll take care of whatever she needs."
Baldwin pretty much ignored him.
"I can drop you at the office in the morning and pick you up."
"I have a car," Drew muttered as he took the keys from my hand and unlocked the door.
"It's not necessary for you to come out of your way. We're leaving from the same place, and I can route myself to drop you on my way to the university."
I ignored the eyes burning into me and turned to Baldwin. "That would be great. Thank you. Or I can take a cab. I don't want Drew having to come all this way uptown in the morning, especially dragging his son with him."
"Then it's settled. Text me in the morning if you need help getting ready or anything."
"Thank you." Baldwin gave Drew a nod and then finally went to his apartment. The entire encounter had probably lasted the sum total of 3 minutes, but it felt like hours. Inside, I flicked on the lights and busied myself taking off my coat. Drew was quiet, and I sensed a comment coming. After a minute, I started to relax and think maybe it was all in my head, that I had misjudged the situation and the awkwardness was only felt by me. I was wrong.
"That guy's an asshole."
"What did he do?" Drew must have taken my question as defending Baldwin. His entire demeanor changed.
"Do you want to fuck him?"
"What? No! Where the hell did that come from?" He ran a hand through his hair.
"I gotta go. I don't want Beck to wake up and me not be back yet."
While I could understand that, 5 minutes ago he hadn't been planning on rushing back. Drew had just gone from desperate to be with me to desperate to get away from me in under 5 minutes flat.
"What just happened here? Do you want me to take that brace off of you or do anything before I leave?"
Frustrated, I snapped at him.
"No, just go."
I pressed my head against the door after shutting it behind him. My mind was spinning, but the same question kept running through it. Do I want to sleep with Baldwin?
Chapter 32. The next morning, I debated going over to Emery's place a half dozen times before deciding I'd just make it worse if I showed up. I didn't want her to think my apology was a cover because I didn't want Putz driving her to work. Of course, I didn't want the dickhead to drive her. But around 2 o'clock this morning, after beating up my pillow, I'd finally come to my senses. My acting like a jerk had nothing to do with Emery. Between a cheating ex-wife and my daily dose of clients who'd been burned or had burned their spouse,
I wasn't exactly the most trusting person. I still didn't think I was wrong about Baldwin. The guy was a dickhead, and my gut told me something would eventually go down once he realized Emery wasn't waiting on the sidelines for him anymore. But that wasn't on her either. It was almost 10 by the time she finally showed up at the office. Beck only had a half day of school, so I was hoping she didn't have a morning appointment she needed to jump right into. I'd been on high alert listening for her to come in, so she was barely inside when I got to the reception area. And the dickhead was with her. His arm wrapped around her waist, he was attempting to assist her in walking. I could see from her face that the entire thing made her uncomfortable. "Morning?" "Good morning," Emery forced a pensive smile. "I told Baldwin he didn't need to walk me inside, but he insisted." I managed to reply with a hint of sincerity. "You need help. Doctor said no weight on that ankle." Testing my resolve, I backed off and let him walk her all the way to her office as I returned to mine. I'd be lying if I said I didn't eavesdrop, though. He asked her what time he should pick her up, and Emery said she had plans after work and would get a ride. Once Putz was gone, I took a deep breath and walked into her office. She was setting up her laptop in the docking station. "You have a patient now?"
"Nope."
She didn't look up. "So we can talk?" She looked up at me.
"Oh, you're in the mood to talk now?"
I deserved that. Maybe I should start off with an apology right away. Her face softened, but she folded her arms across her chest, trying to be a tougher sell.
"That would be good."
"I'm sorry about the way I acted last night."
"You mean accusing me of wanting to screw another man after we'd already agreed we were going to be sleeping together exclusively?"
"Yes, that."
Emery sighed. "I'm not that type of person, Drew. Even if I wanted to sleep with someone else, I wouldn't while I'd given someone a commitment."
She just unintentionally hit my sore spot. I'd spent half the night and morning taking ownership of the fact that I had trust issues. Those were easy to blame on other people. It was Alexa's fault, my work has killed my faith in the human race. But when it came down to it, I liked this woman. Maybe more than I should after such a short time. And it scared the crap out of me. She'd spent the last few years of her life waiting for some other guy to notice her, and I wasn't sure what would happen when he finally did. Sure, I was jealous, but I was also fucking scared. And I definitely didn't like feeling that way. I walked over to her, not so much because I felt like I needed to be close to say what I needed to say, but because I hated to be on the other side of the room when I could be near her. It was especially chilly outside today, and her cheeks were pink, matching the tip of her nose. I cupped her cold face into my hands and leaned down and planted a soft kiss on her lips. Then I pulled back so we were at eye level. "I'm sorry for being a jealous jerk. I'd planned to tell you why it wasn't my fault I was jealous, that my history and job made me this way, and maybe that's part of it. But it's not all of it. To be honest, the truth didn't hit me until a few minutes ago."
"And what's that?"
"I need to hear where your head is with that guy. You followed him halfway across the country a few months ago. I know you had strong feelings for him. And if you say you'd tell me if you wanted out of this exclusive thing, I believe you. But what I need to know is, if he told you today he had feelings for you, would you be telling me you wanted out?" Emery stilled, a flash of something flickering across her face before our eyes locked.
"Why don't you sit?"
Chapter 33. Practice what you preach. That was a tall order when Drew Jagger stared at you, waiting for an answer. He wanted to know what would happen if the man I'd been crazy about for the last few years, the man I'd moved to New York to take a chance on, suddenly decided he wanted to be with me. It was a question I'd been asking myself since both men left me alone with my thoughts last night. I owed it to Drew to be honest. Heck, I owed it to myself. "I've had feelings for Baldwin for so long, I don't remember what it feels like to not have them." Drew leaned on the edge of my desk, his legs spread in a stance that was so inherently male and dominant, something so simple, yet it reminded me that what I was about to say was true. But whatever I've felt for Baldwin is very different than whatever is going on between us. Drew's eyes flashed, and I had to squeeze my thighs to stop myself from getting excited about him growing angry. There was no doubt that pissing each other off was some kind of screwed-up foreplay for us, but this wasn't the time for that. Baldwin is smart and courteous. We share a passion for psychology and sociology. He doesn't use foul language, he takes me to fancy restaurants, and he's never once raised his voice to me. Drew was brooding. There better be a fucking but coming soon. My lip twitched. I needed to get through the hard part before I gave him his but. There is, but I want to be completely honest. The look in his eyes told me to get to the point. He nodded for me to continue. I'd be lying if I said I didn't have feelings for Baldwin. But then there's you. You confuse the hell out of me, and I have no idea where whatever is going on between us is going to land, but there's one thing I'm sure of.
What's that?
When I look at you, it makes me realize why it would have never worked out with him. His eyes softened. I suck at trust. I know. I'm still gonna yell, and I use fuck as a noun, adjective, and verb. I smirked. I've learned there are times when your language really works for me. Drew reached out and ran two fingers over my chin, down my neck, and along my collarbone, before moving them into my cleavage. Oh, yeah? That was all it took. The deep rasp of his oh, yeah, and a simple touch. I couldn't explain why I felt things for Drew any more than I could explain the taste of water. Yet somehow he had become a necessity for me, and I was in no way ready to take on a drought. I whispered, "Where's Beck?" Drew's eyes followed his fingers as they dipped into my sweater. "School. Don't have to pick him up for another hour." My body prickled at the thought of how we could spend that hour. "Any clients before then?" He began to unbutton the small pearl buttons that ran down the front of my sweater. "Nope. You?" I shook my head. Whatever patience Drew had been practicing went out the window after that. In the next minute, he lifted me from my chair, tore off my panties, and propped me atop my desk, facing the chair with my skirt bunched up around my waist, all while being careful of my air-casted leg. Then he sat in the chair, facing my exposed pussy, and loosened his tie. "What are you doing?"
"Showing you I'm sorry. Spread wider."
Oh, my. I opened my legs for him and shivered at the way he looked at me down there. When he licked his lips, pulled his chair closer, and tugged until my ass was at the edge of the desk, I was already halfway to orgasm, and he hadn't even laid a finger on me yet.
"I might not like to eat at fancy restaurants, but you'll always be fed, and I'll eat you until you're the one screaming obscenities."
That totally worked for me. Things were different after our talk this morning. There was an intimacy, a bond of some sort, that hadn't been there before. Drew picked up Beck from school and brought back lunch for all of us before the two of them left for the library, then ice skating again. I loved that Drew made his afternoons with his son part work and part play for both of them. Beck did story time on the children's rug, while Drew worked on a case in the adjoining room. When they were done, Beck read books to Drew, and then the reward was ice skating. I had an afternoon full of patience, and even at almost 6:30 in the evening, I felt a renewed hopefulness that there was a solution for every couple's problems. My optimism had spilled over into my sessions in a good way. I was packing up my laptop when I heard the front door open, and then little feet flying toward my office.
"We got all the stuff for movie night!" Beck yelled.
His chubby cheeks were red from the cold, and he was bundled like a little snowman.
"Oh, really? What are you planning on watching?"
Beck held up two fingers.
"We got two movies. One is for dinner food, and the other is for dessert."
I didn't quite understand what he meant, but his excitement was contagious.
"That sounds great. Which movie will you watch first?"
Drew appeared behind his son.
"He made me drop him off at the curb instead of going under to the parking garage so he could run in and tell you first."
Beck smiled so wide, I could almost count his tiny little teeth. He held up a CD jewel case. For dinner, we got Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Then he pointed up to his dad, who held up a takeout bag. Mama Teresa's makes the best meatballs in the city. Beck nodded fast, then held up a second jewel case. And for dessert, we got Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Beck pointed up to his father. It was like they were doing a little skit. Drew held up another bag. Gooseberry pie from the French pastry. I smiled. What is gooseberry pie, anyway? Drew shrugged.
Hell if I know, but we had to go to 3 bakeries to find it, and the thing cost $26, so it better taste good.
Beck added, I'm going to have mine with vanilla ice cream. That's not part of your movie party, though.
My movie party?
Dad said you liked movie theme parties. Can you come? Another little piece of the wall I'd built around my heart because I was afraid to fall for this man chipped off. Drew watched me, assessing my reaction. I couldn't have hidden it if I wanted to. My hand went to my chest. You are the sweetest. I can't believe you made a movie theme night for me. I'd love to come. Anxious to get started, Beck took off yelling down the hall. I'll get the elevator.
Don't get in it until I'm there, Drew warned.
I finished packing up my stuff and went to the doorway. Pushing up on my tippy toes, I gave him a soft kiss on the lips. Thank you. He winked.
You got it.
Drew scooped me up, because I apparently wasn't allowed to walk until this aircast was off, and walked toward the elevator. Lowering his voice, he said,
Think I'm gonna like this dinner and a movie theme thing. Finally put my porn collection to good use.
Chapter 34. The rest of the week was just as amazing as movie night. Spending time at home with Drew and Beck showed me so much more about the man than I would have learned on dozens of dates. Come to think of it, that should be part of the dating ritual. On the second or third date, the man should have to bring a child, perhaps a niece or nephew if he doesn't have children of his own, so you can see the relationship he has with them. It would cut to the bottom line better than 6 months of dating. Whether we had breakfast or dinner together each day, Drew always managed to carve out time for all three of us together, and for the two of them alone. It was starting to feel like my own little family. But in the back of my mind, I realized things wouldn't always be this way. Alexa would be returning tomorrow, and I wasn't sure what that would add. I was definitely curious about her. This afternoon I would be watching Beck alone for a few hours, while Drew had a deposition he couldn't reschedule. He'd planned on asking one of the assistant teachers from Beck's school, who sometimes watched him, but I insisted I could handle it. Drew had a stash of movies that we could watch upstairs in his apartment, and I'd bought some old-school Jiffy Pop popcorn to make on the stove. Babysitting would be a piece of cake. Or so I thought. Then I had to call Drew's cell phone and interrupt his deposition 10 minutes after it started, to tell him we needed to go to the hospital. I'm so sorry. It was the millionth time I'd said it. We were in a small curtained room in the same ER we'd sat in for my twisted ankle not even one full week ago. Only this time, Beck was being treated.
Things happen. It was an accident. Now he knows better than to touch the stove.
I should have known better. Beck and I had made the Jiffy Pop together. He'd never seen popcorn made that way. His big chocolate eyes grew like saucers watching the silver foil inflate with each pop of the kernels. When the popping had slowed, and the foil looked about to burst, I'd slid the silvery pan from the heat onto a cool burner and poked a hole in the top to allow steam to escape. When Beck went to sift through the movie cabinet, I thought nothing of going to the bathroom. I was out of the room less than 3 minutes, thinking how nice the afternoon was as I washed my hands, when the screaming began. The poor little guy had gone back to the stove and, unaware that part of the flat-top burner was still hot since it was no longer orange, tried to hop up to watch the steam coming out of the top of the Jiffy Pop. He'd unknowingly placed his entire hand on the still-hot burner.
His mother's kitchen has gas. I should have explained that the top stays hot to him when I got the new stove a year ago. It's not your fault. It's mine.
Beck shrugged. The boy was a trooper. It doesn't even really hurt that much anymore. The doctor said it was a simple first-degree burn and applied Silvadine lotion, then wrapped